crazy people shooting off fireworks. We're having snow showers here, and they're shooting off fireworks.
Okay. That's at least New Year's Eve they do that.
I know, but it's in the snow.
Probably shooting guns.
Yeah, they're shoot
All
it's
right,
snow.
let's get started. Let me get started. I've already
Okay.
got it. All right. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful group of people. Praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each one of us. Lord, we feel so comfortable with each other. We just fellowship all the time. And I thank you, Lord, that we have that comfort level. You're bringing us into this one accord, and that's awesome. That's awesome, Lord, that we feel comfortable enough to talk to one another in a neighborly way, in a close way, actually. We thank you for it, Father. Praise you for what you're going to do tonight. We thank you, Lord, that people will understand your word concerning being led by the Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you for opening people's eyes and ears to the gospel, to the truth. And we just praise you for it, Father. We praise you for the work that you're doing. We praise you, Lord, for the victory with the prayers that we've prayed for our family. We thank you for the victory, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Herb is free at last. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just pray peace upon the family, that they understand that Herbert's not suffering anymore. He's up there with Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that this time and this opportunity will be for them to reflect to where they are with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight. Let us be led by your Spirit, Lord, and only by your Spirit. Help us to get the flesh out the way. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you because you're worthy of our praises, Lord. You're worthy of our glory. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Well, we don't know when Herbie's funeral is going to be yet. And we were supposed to leave Friday to go to my family for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Saturday was supposed to be a big meal, family getting together, going out to eat. And so I just want to ask the Lord and pray and believe that it won't interfere with us going and being with my family, especially for the meal with the family on Saturday. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you just sovereignly arrange it, that we can do both, Lord. Go to the funeral and see Merle's family, but also be with my family. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for a quick funeral. In Herbie's funeral, Lord, it's a celebration. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Chap, go ahead, brother.
I want to ask for a prayer for a lady that I just got off the phone with about 30 minutes ago. Her name is Sandy, and we're getting her to get her set up to do some deliverance on her, but she's really tormented. She's desperate for deliverance, And I just want to lift her up. Her name is Sandy, and she's from Pennsylvania. So, Father, I just thank you for Sandy. Lord, I know you love her. I know you see all of her creative value. You don't want to see her tormented. You don't want to see her in fear and pain. You want her to be delivered. You want her to be set free. And, Father, I just thank you for what you are going to do in her life. In the name of Jesus, we speak a blessing over her right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We bind up those tormenting spirits on her right now in the name of Jesus, that when people go in there to minister to her, she'll have to sit and listen in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I remember a story. Can I tell you a story about this mama? This mama had a daughter that went nuts. I'm talking about nuts of nuts. They had to put her in a padded cell, nuts. And she was violently nuts. And she was about 30 years old. And her mother came into the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she found out what her authority was in Christ by listening to some tapes and things. And she said, well, bless God, let's go down there and get those demons off of her. And so she took her friend with her, praying friend with her, two of them, took two friends with her. They went down to the insane asylum. They said, you can't get in there. You can't go in there. She's crazy. She's crazy. She'll kill you if you go in there. They said, open the door. And she walked in there, and the guy slammed the door behind her. The two ladies that was with her was down on her on their knees already praying in the spirit. And she went in there, and that crazy lady ran around the room, ran up on the side of the wall, came up on the side of the wall and jumped down on her mama, but her mama stepped aside. And when she hit the floor, mama was on top of her, got her nose right to her nose, commanded them demons out, and the demons come out. And she said, mama, that's you. She said, mama, mama, that's you. She said, yeah, honey, let's go home. That day she went home. Delivered from the tormenting spirits that had gotten a hold of her.
Amen.
Because of mama. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the authority that God has given us. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray about something? Yeah, Joe.
I got a testimony, and better yet, how does my mic sound, Michael? I know it's it used to be nice and loud. I changed the volume, so I wanted to get a mic check here.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, it's okay. Better.
I changed the volume really? A couple weeks ago.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't want to blow anybody away anymore. I'm like, you know, let's go check it out.
Okay.
But
go for it.
No, I had a testimony of God's protection at work. I found this one really wild. I was like, whoa, really? You know, I was shocked when I heard it. But, you know, that's part of my prayer request too. But there was a gentleman who I worked for a couple weeks or worked with. He came in with a group to kind of do a project for Blue Buffalo, convert some, you know, treats over into different size boxes. And so, I mean, every time I, you know, passed by him, I thought, well, you know, he's – you know, lost guy, a lot of tattoos all over his face, his arms, you know, just like, I mean, looked like a really average, either to the average person, kind of scary fellow. But yeah, I mean, he was nice as could be to me. You know, I didn't have any issues with him. And that was the case all through the month and a half since he'd been there. But yesterday, was it? Wait, yesterday or the day before, he quit because, you know, he got a job actually at my old place where I used to work, DHL. I don't know if it's the same facility, but he walked out. As he walked out, he kind of damaged some of the product, you know, and I was like, what was this all about? So he went, you know, we have box cutters. They're really cheap, you know, so they can't do much damage. But he kind of, for whatever reason, he went out and kind of damaged a couple of the cases or the bags of dog food. He just went around and slashed them. And in one of the aisleways, and somebody thankfully, I mean, saw him, you know, do it. So they went and told HR. But I think I heard from a couple people that this guy actually, he was causing problems with others. You know, like I said, I was like, you know, I actually wasn't one of them. You know, so I guess one lady told me she went to one morning, she said good morning to him, you know, and he was just like, whatever, you know, with the real attitude. And there were like a couple other instances where he got into it with people. But supposedly as well, he's been in a jail since he's 12 years old. And his last job, before this one, you know, he spent 8 months in jail for pretty much beating up his supervisor, you know. So I thought, I was like, you know, when I heard this stuff, I thought, wait a minute, this guy, you know, the guy who was nice to me, I didn't really, you know, have any problems with him. I mean, maybe there might have, I might have felt some, you know, tension at times, you know, demonically, but I thought, no, well, I was like, wait a minute, can't be, you know, and I talked to one of the ladies and she said she felt the same way, but yeah, I thought, wow, thank you, Lord, for protecting me from this guy. You know, I thought, wow, he must really been tormented. And, I want to lift him up, and I want to lift up two other people, you know, who just, it's been a trial, but a testimony. God's been really, you know, I mean, working on me, and it hasn't affected a couple people who, you know, I might have wronged in the past. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I also want to pray for grace just to, you know, reconcile with them, you know, most of all, I mean, if I need to, but it was, but I sense there's a lot of bitterness there, you know, unforgiveness, all that. But I've heard things that, you know, about their past, and, you know, it doesn't really surprise me, but I guess it's, you know, testimony. It's just whatever they've said anymore doesn't really affect me. I mean, it, you know, for those of you who know me, I mean, it used to affect me deeply. I mean, I used to get really upset or I'd get very offended and just very bothered by it. But anymore, I've had a lot of very just nasty comments come my way from these people. And just, I was like, doesn't affect me anymore, you know, and so I just pray for him. But yeah, I want to lift him up. It's a woman by the name of Deidre. She's part of the HR, and then there's another coworker. She's been through a lot with her mother. Marcy is her name. So I just want to pray for her, and even Scott, you know, wherever he is now, whatever he's going to do. I mean, I don't even know if he's going to get this current job, but I wanted to lift them three up in prayer that the Lord would begin to work on them, you know. Just, I mean, I'm sure they see it in me, because I mean, I believe they wouldn't be coming against me like they have been, you know, if it wasn't Christ in me. So I just, you know, that's what I mark it down anymore. If someone comes against me, you know, God's allowing it. So I want to lift those three up in prayer here, you know, let the Lord get their attention and give me wisdom on what else I should do, you know, besides just kind of, you know, what I have been. So just, yeah, go ahead and agree with me here. But Father, I thank you for just the work you've been doing. You know, I look at it feels like a total 180 compared to when I was at DHL to where I am now at Taylor Logistics. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that I'm on the right track now where you want me. And you've done a mighty work in the past five and a half months. And I thank you for that. You know, the flesh no longer has a hold on me like it used to. Things don't bother me like they used to. You know, I'm at such peace and just such ease, you know, and such rest compared to what I used to be. You know, I'm no longer tormented like I used to be. So I thank you, Lord, for that great work you've done. And so I just pray for these few coworkers who just, I know it's the spirits in them, you know, and I know it's, I mean, I know they're lost to, you know, and it's just the spirits that come against me, you know, because it's you, Lord Jesus, in me. You know, I think I've realized in the past of anyone really has come against me like these few individuals, it's because of you, Lord Jesus, and me, and they don't like it. You know, it doesn't make them feel comfortable. You know, I mean, really rubs them wrong, you know, the wrong way. So I pray for these three, Marcy, Deidre, and Scott, whatever he's doing, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, you'd meet them in a special way. You know, thank you for just the opportunities, you know, I've had with them. I mean, maybe the small conversation with Deidre and Marcy, whenever that's been, but Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom here, you know, and just set it up perfectly to where I could just say, hey, you know, whatever I've done, I'm sorry. I don't mean any harm or anything by whatever I've done to offend you. And Lord, I just, but I pray they'd see you most of all, Jesus, and that, you know, they wouldn't feel threatened around me. You know, have mercy on them, Lord. You know, that they've been through a lot from what I understand. And I ask that you'd grant them grace, grant them mercy, and repentance most of all. Help them to see, you know, the error of their ways. Open their eyes to the sins in their lives and just how it's ultimately led them to where they are today. You know, and it's just made a mess of their life, pretty much, you know, to put it. So, Lord, open their eyes, but have mercy on them most of all. I'm sure they're tormented enough to where, you know, nobody has to tell them. You know, they live it every day. So I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for bringing them to repentance and salvation. And you know, if I have a part in it, then thank you, Lord. But if not, put others in their paths that will. And the same goes for Scott, Lord. It's just a young man who's just very tormented. If he's been in and out of jail for since 12 years old, yeah, he's, you know, he needs to know your love, Lord. Help him to understand that, you know, whatever's happened, whatever is driving him, you know, that it's, that, Lord, you can forgive him, that you love him, and you want to, you know, you want to change his life for the better. So I pray, Lord, you'd begin to show him these things, you know, help him to let go of the anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, all these things that just drive him, you know, to treat people the way he has and to do the things he has. But Lord, meet him, especially, you know, meet him in a special way, you know, if it's through another believer, you know, or another, you know, an individual or a circumstance that would get him to stop and think about what you want him to, Lord. Just meet him in a special way that you would show up and just show yourself to him, you know. So he's and just have mercy on him too. You know, I thank you for the opportunities, just the few I had, just to kind of speak to him. And I thank you for, most of all, protecting me from the enemy and him that, you know, wanted to probably do harm to me. But I thank you for protecting me, Lord, most of all. That's just a testimony of how powerful you are against the enemy. So I thank you for what you're going to do in these people's lives, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I said, here, go ahead, Julie. Come on, go ahead.
Thank go you. Ahead. I think I will. I'll go ahead. Praise the Lord. praise God. Well, yesterday I went to the store and got a couple things, and I ran into somebody. I ran into a woman that I used to know. She was a member of the church that I went to, which is how I knew her. And we know nothing is a coincidence with God, and I haven't thought of her for some time, and but it was good to see her. She gave me a hug and told me that she was in her 14th year of sobriety, and she was happy. I asked her if she was happy, and she said she was, and she's married. I don't know her husband's name, but he was there, and they're on their way going into a store to mail. Well, it was a UPS store to mail a package, I guess. So I was kind of, it was just a real short, brief meeting because they had to get going. But anyhow, I talked to her, and just small talk, really, but I asked her, she said, I look for you at church sometimes. I'm like, I told her I wasn't going there anymore. And I told her that, I can't remember how exactly I said it, but I told her, Brenda, I said, ask God to give you the truth and to reveal the truth to you. I said, there's a lot of false prophets and there's a lot of false teachers out there. And I didn't allude to anything. And she said she would. And I asked how her daughters were doing and that. And she asked me for my phone number. She said, do you still have the same phone number? I think you're still in my contacts. But I gave her my phone number again anyways. I hadn't changed it. But I would like just, I've been praying for her since I ran into her. But I would just like you all to agree with me in prayer for Brenda, because I just know that was the Lord that brought our steps. I haven't seen her in a long time. And she's gone through a lot of hard things in her life. And she comes from a background of rejection and abuse, and was into alcoholism and that kind of thing. I know now a lot of things that I didn't know then. But so, Heavenly Father, I just lift up Brenda to you with my brothers and sisters here, and I ask God that you would draw her and her husband to you, and you would give them a revelation of the knowledge of the truth, that you would get her filled with the Holy Spirit. Get her both, get them both filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would enlighten their eyes to what the truth really is, and to expose the false teacher, false prophet teachings that they're sitting under. And I bind up and command to be I just cast down every work of religious spirits, that seducing, charming idolatry of the man behind the pulpit, and how they just love him, and how great he is, and all of these things, Lord. And I just pray that you expose him for who he is, Lord, to each of them, that you, however you choose to do it, give him their dream, a vision, just sharpen their discernment and give him an awakening, Lord. I pray your protection on them, Father, in the days ahead from the judgments, Lord, and that they would come running out, Lord, they'll come running out of those churches, Father. I thank you that Brenda hasn't touched alcohol, Lord, for these years. And I just come against this demon of alcoholism and dependency and escapism and hurt and rejection and fear of rejection and the abuse and the neglect and all the things that have bound her and hurt her in their past. And I command you to leave her in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're going to show her that it's by your power and faith in your word. And deliverance is the children's bread, Father, and healing is the children's bread, and that you want to do this for her, Lord. And it's not by any works of man, Lord, that you get all the glory. And I just praise you for what you're going to do, Lord. And Lord, if it's your will that she call me, then let me be a good witness for you, Lord, and just let me speak love and truth and faith to her, and that you would be in the whole thing. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We hook our faith up with you, and we believe it, Lord. We believe you're going to give her the words, and it's going to change her life, her and her husband, but in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, David.
You know, I'd like to lift up that little boy. I got an email on here from Chris the other day. Did you get that?
Okay.
I'm going to lift up Keegan. He's 12, going to be 13 on Friday. Looks like he has problems with food. He can't digest it. And he's got about the size of an 8-year-old because of his having digestion problems all these years. And one time they actually had, it sounds like they put him in the hospital briefly because they had to pump out his stomach because there was food that was actually rotting in his stomach because it wasn't being digested. So we want to lift him up in prayer. Let's just listen. Father, thank you for hearing us come together about Keegan, this little boy. Boy, he has our hearts, Lord, and I know he has yours too. We want to come together and command that stomach in the name of Jesus, start working properly, start digesting food to let his body grow normally. Anything that be hindering that, if any spirits, infirmity there, we cast it off now in the name of Jesus. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We are coming together as a body against this thing. It has to go, and his body has to be healed in the name of Jesus so he can grow up to be a fine young man. We come against this, and we come alongside his mother to give her strength and encouragement at the same time. And the Lord, that you come and give her that, Father, that this is going to happen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we lift up Keegan to you. We believe right along with Dave that boy is healed, delivered, and set free from this awful problem. We command that spirit out of him right now in the name of Jesus, that spirit of infirmity, you go from it. And we thank you, Lord, that his intestines, his stomach, and all of his food digestive tract is healed in the name of Jesus, every portion of it. And, Lord, we thank you that not only that, that all the symptoms that resulted from this are erased in Jesus' name, that he'll grow up to be just a regular-sized man in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that Keegan is healed in Jesus' name. We believe it. Everybody here, raise your hands if you believe Keegan is healed. Yes, I do too. Praise Amen. God. Thank you, Thank Jesus. You, I believe it. Amen. Yeah, I forgot about him, Dave.
I'd like to praise the Lord too, because the other day, last week, I don't know, when was it? I think it must have been last week. me and my son Aaron were standing there, and we were talking about, you know, because he still was looking for a job all this time, not getting anywhere. I says, we're going to pray together on this. Come on, let's pray. He says, okay. You know, we prayed about it, and I commanded in the name of Jesus that he'd get a job within the next week, if not the next few days, and that things would come up and start shaking loose and cast off any rejection he had or anything else. He feels bad about this, and so he can get on with his life, Lord, and we thanked him for that. Moved on. Well, he had an interview today with Home Depot, and he had two in a row, and he's got another one Thursday, so it sounds like he's going to get on the road and get back to work. I said, I just said, you know, Aaron, I don't care what you do, just get started doing something and just work through it until you get what you want. That's how it works. So that's where he's now. He's on the road again. The Lord answered that prayer and honored the prayer of faith, and he's starting up. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe, Lord. We believe. I guess we need to pray. What happened to Missy? She get knocked off? Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that line of internet to be healed. In Jesus' name, we command that router to work. We command the computer to work. We command every part of that communication into Missy's house and into her computer or whatever it is she's using to be healed in Jesus' name. And you come on back in, Missy. Amen.
Well, I didn't know if we needed to offer prayer, too, for Julie and her friend there. They were at a UPS store, so no, I'm kidding. I'm thinking USPS.
USPS, okay. United States Post Office. Yeah. Somebody could go postal anytime. We know Dave. Thank you, Lord.
Just a little competition, Dave, and it wasn't me. I was just walking by. I was leaving the grocery store. Just happened to run into them.
That's good.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
I want to speak with Dave for a minute. Do you know this Keegan?
No, actually, this was a email that came through. I'm on the prayer team, and that came through. And I seen that, like, oh, gosh.
I used to work in a health food store. I've done so many different things, you won't believe it. But anyway, I worked in a health food store, and we had people that were all the time coming in because they couldn't process their food properly.
Uh-huh.
We sold a capsule of hydrochloric acid, and that helped them out. Actually, some people that take the purple pill, whatever that's called, the one for too much production, too much acid production, people that have reflux and stuff like that, they take a variety of pills for it, and that's not their problem. It's not too much, it's too little, because like you're talking about Keegan, when you eat, if you produce less stomach acid, it won't process the food properly, and it putrefies and creates gas and backs up. So that's a big problem in the world, actually. And I had a girl come in one time, and she said, I've tried every kind of pill there is for it. And I said, well, you know, you're going at it wrong, because it's not an overproduction, it's an underproduction. And I gave her this pill, and she came back in about 2 weeks and grabbed me and kissed me and said, I love you. She said, I have not felt this good in years, you know, but it works. It does.
I got one better than that.
The Lord.
I got a Jesus pill. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The gospel pill.
Yeah, there you go. The gospel.
Well, not everybody will accept the gospel, but everybody will accept that other one, hydrochloric acid. Anyway, You don't know him, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Well, all right. We're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about how to be led by the Spirit. That's a good topic. It's one that everybody needs to learn, how to be led by the Spirit and not the flesh. And so I'm just going to open it up. Has anybody got any thoughts on how to be led by the Spirit? Or do we need to give some background? So go ahead, Missy.
Well, I knew this was going to be the topic, but as you were saying that, what immediately jumped into my mind was deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me.
Okay, what does all that mean?
Well, deny yourself, your old man, your flesh, you know, your carnal man. You've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. You know, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have the power to say no to the flesh, to the carnal man. And you don't know what that is unless you read the Word. So, but that's also, if you read the Word, then you can, that helps you recognize the difference between the carnal man, the old man, the flesh, the self, and all that ick. And difference between that and the Spirit, you know?
Okay.
Dead unto sin, alive unto God. It's your flesh that sins.
Yeah. What exactly are you talking about when you say the flesh?
The old man.
I don't know what you're talking about, girl. You give me an old man. I ain't an old man. What are you talking about?
Anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Anything in you, you're not going to know what it is unless you read the Word.
Okay. Let's do this. There's three parts to man, right?
Right.
There's the body, and at death, where does it go? Back to the dust, right? So it's going to stay here. Then you have what? The soul and the spirit. So now we're talking now. What is the soul? Can anybody tell me what the soul is?
Mind,
that's
will.
Our, yeah, there you go. It's our mind, our will, our and emotions.
Emotions.
Yeah, it's our makeup. It's who we are. And then the spirit. Now, what happens upon our salvation? We get a new spirit, don't we? Spirit's already been changed. Right? Am I right? Somebody shake your head. Okay. All right, if we have a new spirit, then the spirit is not what needs to be saved, right? But it is the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions that have to be brought into line, have to be brought into the Word of God, line up with the Word of God. And so that's what Missy was talking about when she was talking about self, flesh. All of that has to bring everything into alignment with the Word of God. And if we, and like David often puts it, he often puts it like this. He says, if you feed the spirit man more than you feed the flesh man, the one who lusts after TV, lusts after entertainment, lusts after this, lusts after that, rather than reading and studying the Word of God. then you're going to be a fleshly man, and you're not, you're going to be led by Satan and your flesh more, period. But if you feed the spirit man, the things of the spirit, like the word of God, teaching from a godly teacher, then your spirit man will eventually take over. And you will be led by the Spirit. Now, how do we be led? How are we led by the Spirit? The newborn Christian can be led by the Spirit if you understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues. Okay? When you were baptized by the Holy Spirit and you started speaking in tongues, those tongues didn't come from up here. Those tongues came from down in here, where your heart came in from your belly mostly. Seems like it just came from your belly. That's where your spirit man resides. That's your spirit man. And so how do we be led? We get led by that inner small voice that we hear. Okay. From down here, not from here. We get contrary words up here from the Word of God. But if they're coming from the spirit man, and they line up with the Word of God, then you know it is God. Now that's just a simplified version. Now I know there's a whole lot more to it than that, but that's just an Arkansas version. Anybody else want to add to that? Come on into it, you know. There's a lot of verses that talk about that. Yeah, Joe, you got a question?
Wait a minute, there we go. Let's go and take myself off of mute first. To answer your question on what is the flesh, Galatians 5:19 popped up to me, or came to mind. Let me just say that here. Basically, this is a good understanding of what the flesh looks like. I'll read that here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wraths, factions, divisions, heresies, envies, drunkennesses, revelings, and the like of these, of which I forewarn you, as also I did forewarn, that they who practice such things shall not inherit God's kingdom. So like you asked, what is the flesh? Well, that's what the flesh looks like. You know, as Missy said, get rid of the flesh, deny the flesh, deal with these things. So when you see these things pop up, that gives you a good understanding. Hey, that's the flesh in operation. So
okay, keep reading on down there, you'll see what the fruit of the Spirit is.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go there. Let's see. That was 19.
While you're doing that, I'm going to read one. It's Romans 8:14 tells us this. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these, they are the sons of God. That's who you know is a true Christian. Those that are being led by the Spirit of God. Those that are listening to the Spirit of God. That's the true Christian. Not those that are listening to a pastor up there talking sweet stories and all that kind of deal.
Yep. Okay, I got it here. All right, 22 in the same chapter says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's what the Spirit looks like.
As part of, yeah. Yep. There's some more verses that tells you even more about both of them. That's good enough start right there.
There we go.
So in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. When you're saved and you have salvation, your spirit has changed into the spirit from God. And so you're walking, you're a lamp if you keep on feeding that spirit. You're a lamp, you're a light into the world. That's why sometimes people can look at you and see a light around you, you know. Sometimes that happens. I've seen it on other people. People have seen it on me. I've seen it on just, you know, people I knew were Christians. Because I saw that, I said, that guy's got to be a Christian. Or that lady's got to be a Christian. Yeah, Leon. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay. Well, then that would kind of lead to the wise and the foolish virgins. Because if you're full of the light, if you bring the oil and are filled with the light, you make it into the kingdom with the Lord. And if you don't, if you're lacking of the oil, then you don't make it. So that's a parable there.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what you're saying.
Yep. Well, that Proverbs 27, if we put it in today's vernacular, the spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord, right? That's what we're doing. We're the light bulb of the Lord. We're the spotlight of the Lord, Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. So, anybody else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, I have a question to throw out there because I don't know if this is where it originated from or not, but it's like, so you want to be led of the Lord, and you might be wanting to make a decision about something. How do you know how to be led of the Lord? And say you're trying to decide, you know, if you should do something or not.
Go to the Lord with prayer.
Yeah.
How do you know
then that whatever decision you're trying to make and you feel like you feel like or you sense, or how do you know that you're being led of the Lord or if it's your flesh?
Here's what I do, and all I can do is tell you what I do. I pray in the Spirit. I ask the Lord, Lord, I need an answer here. And I pray in the Spirit. And I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit until I get an answer. And I know, and I know that I know it can be, but it's 99% of the time it's not. It's just a knowing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do the same thing you do. I ask the Lord about it and I ask him to give me a confirmation about it. And a lot of times what I've been struggling with at times when I was trying to make a decision was whether or not should I or shouldn't I, is this right or is it wrong kind of thing. And the enemy was always trying to get me in confusion and in legalism and all kinds of stuff. And that was part of my battle. But see, that was part of my battle is casting down the religious spirits, the legalism, the fear, the worry, what if I make a wrong decision? All these, I mean, the arsenal the enemy was doing was just that. But, you know, it was just being led of the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I want your will. I don't know what your will is in this, so I want your will. And one of the things that I know he was giving me was to be patient about waiting for an answer, not just to, you know, jump to anything. And did I have peace about it? Did I have peace about the decision? And if I didn't have peace about it, I didn't do anything. I waited. I still waited. And I kept putting, it was just a trial I was having to go through about, am I being, you know, is this the Lord or not? You know? You know, I just want to make sure I know. So I wasn't going to do anything until I had peace. Because the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Is it a good thing or, you know, is it good or bad? You know, all these things. And it's just the enemy. So anyhow, I know all of you probably have been there before about should I or shouldn't I decisions. So, but wanting to be led of the Lord and going the right path and just like, it's like, well, Lord, I want your will, not my own. I don't want the flesh, but at the same time, you know, help me to have peace about the whatever decision it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Chip, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with what you said. There's so many Christians that don't understand the power of praying in tongues And I don't mean for 3 minutes. I mean, if it takes you 3 hours or whatever, you know, you petition to the Lord, but you stay in the secret place and pray in tongues. Man, you can't pray in tongues too much. And I know that when I really committed myself to make a conscious effort to really pray in tongues for long periods of time, it opened up something in the spiritual realm that is just amazing. You know, I guess what I would say in my situation, it gave me more discernment, which turned into less questions. You understand what I'm saying? But you can't do too much. Amen?
That's right. Thank you, Lord. You can't pray too much in tongues. It'll hurt your tongue. Matter of fact, it'll make you a stronger faith man or woman. Okay, anybody else?
Hello.
Hey, Angelica.
Hey, brother. I was just, what's coming to mind as far as being led of the Spirit, a couple of scripture. One is Galatians 1:16. Probably starting 15 is just, you know, when Paul was, saved in a mighty way, it says here that, in 15, but when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles, straight away I conferred not with flesh and blood. So, I mean, that to me is something that I just kind of feel is something. Obviously, he was led by the Spirit, like Jesus was, and you know, when Jesus was led with the Spirit in the wilderness. And it's, I think it's the same way for us. We're not conferring with flesh and blood. We're not conferring even with our own opinions or plans or anything like that. It's just a yielding to, you know, to the voice of the Lord that is speaking, you know, most of the time something, you know, something that we're not, you know, I guess maybe, you know, we're willing to do, but we're not able at the time or something like that. But it's not anything that that somebody's opinion, you know, should kind of interfere with, you know, the leading of the Lord. Because a lot of people will say, oh, well, can you get confirmation for me or this or that? And, you know, I think we're sort of responsible for getting some of our own confirmations on our own, you know, and some things when being led of the Lord, you're not really, at least I know at the beginning, I never really went to anybody, you know, to confirm anything, what I was feeling in my spirit, which I just understood. And so that's just my little experience with being led of the Lord.
Amen. That's good. You know, sometimes our flesh, our mind gets in the way, and it wants to give us one answer, and then we get another answer from the Spirit man, and it kind of confuses us at times. And how do we ascertain as to which one is which? You know, just like I said before, get in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, that flesh man goes away. You understand where you are then. You'll get that confirmation from the Lord. Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart in 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Praise God. Can I tell you this? That God wants us to listen to that inner man, that inner spirit, implicitly. In other words, he wants to get us off of flipping coins. He wants to get us off of throwing open the Bible. He wants us to listen to the Spirit of God. He wants you to listen to the Spirit in order to get those confirmations from him. Because you're not always going to have. Matter of fact, I can tell you, he has just shut me and David down from doing that completely. We can chunk we can chunk change all day long. We won't get an answer. I'm telling you, we've done it. We've tried it. So we just finally decided, well, I guess God's trying to tell us to quit doing it and go ahead and start listening. So that's what we do now. Praise the Lord. We listen to that inner man. And to offset that flesh, like we said before, get out of the entertainment business and get into Jesus. That's what. Just like David was talking about Sunday. Remember what he said Sunday? Distractions. Distractions. Praise the name of the Lord. But that's where God is taking us. You know why he's taking us there? Because you're going to be in places sometimes you might not have a coin. You may only have your spirit man to rely on. And that's what we want anyway, because you can take him with you where you go. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, David.
I find just being in the Word a lot helps me with the Lord. There's many things that when you guys are going to talk about something or the group's going to talk about something, the Lord's kind of cued me in on that before it happens because using eSword, I let it, it opens up on things and I read it and it'll be on things that are going to be discussed or what David's going to talk about or you're going to talk about. It'll be there. And I'll think, I won't have a clue why I'm going through this and reading it. But within the next couple of days, you guys will be covering it. Okay. That's where this is coming from. So I see the Lord confirming a lot of things through the Word with what you guys say and also keep me on the same page. So that spirit-led thing is, it goes a lot farther than sometimes just trying to get an immediate answer. It's about what he's really conveying to us as a group or in trying to walk us through too. And even the issues that, what's her name? Eve was having. I mean, I can look back and think, I guess I was being distracted. I was having my problems too. It's like all these things are just so interrelated with us. And hearing it, it's like the Lord was also talking to us and conveying to us these things and bringing us through these things. And so he talks to us in so many ways. Are we listening? That's the other thing. Are we listening? And also you got to have your ears open and your eyes cued in. And maybe he might expose you to right now, you may not pick up on it till maybe a few days or a week later. And all of a sudden, now I see where that came from or what he was saying, because he told you about it, and he wanted to see if you were going to pay attention too, and bring it up and let you see what he's trying to tell everybody and you personally. So I see that leading the Lord a lot with this group. And I get that, because whatever happens with David or Michael or whatever others are talking about, or even what I'm exposed to, it seems like it's just what the Lord needs to convey at the time to everyone. So that leading and being led by the Lord is the biggest thing is you got to be paying attention with what the Lord is saying.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else got any input as to how you listen to the Lord? Is it different? Is it some way differently that you do it? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, it's when you want to pick up your cross too. That would be following the Spirit. The Lord was trying to show me something. I was reading a part at the end of Mark there, which you're supposed to actually manifest. All those items there are the Spirit of two. But I was more intent on looking at picking up serpents in your hands, and they shall not harm you. And I believe that has to do a lot with keeping your eyes on the cross, because of that that other story in the Old Testament when you had to look at the serpent on the pole. And I'm pretty sure when they were doing that physically, okay, and the serpents were biting at them, that even though they had their eyes on the serpent on the pole, there may have been one coming close and they took it in their hand and fling it off, you know, hopefully it didn't hit anybody else. But that's what I think it's there, you know, because these serpents are not supposed to harm you. Like if someone, you know, it's like they got this key and they want to start your goat, but you're not a goat, you're a lamb. See, so the keys of your pickup is not going to work on your motorcycle. Okay. So, and this is the spirit working in you. It's a command also that you have to take up your cross. It's a requirement actually, in the way the book of Luke puts it. If you don't do that, well, you can just go read it there in the book of Luke. What will happen to you there? And that can bring a bit of the fear of the Lord on you too. So there's an incentive there. And you know, I was listening to some other stuff today on the fear of the Lord. And of course, I did read chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and that's why that's written in there about the end, the very end of what kind of person you ought to be. And that's the effect of the Spirit too, when the fear of the Lord comes upon you for items, you know. And you know, I was also listening to quite a bit of the videos on Sovereign God. I listened to number 3 and halfway through 4 just before I came on. And you know, you can get a bit of the fear of the Lord when you sometimes listen to that, especially if you're struggling with something. And you know, YouTube has been a problem with me for a while too. And I also have a TV set, but I don't have cable because I got my vision from a long time ago from the Lord to get rid of that. And but I got all these crazy videos, these DVDs, you know, and they're still there. I'm cleaning them out, you know. I've thrown some out and I've just put them somewhere else so I don't have to look at them. And it's not something I watch every day, but I noticed that since I've been off, you know, you might want to watch a bit more. But you know, I would be studying all morning, and then sometimes you're there, I get to this lock place where I go, well, what am I going to do with myself now, Lord? And I found myself asking this question quite a few times, and there's no answer there. So, you know, you have to be careful when it comes to the Lord, because he wants you to guard the deposit. I mean, he guards the deposit for you too, but you have to guard the deposit too, to the best of your ability. And you have to be disciplining yourself in this too. And well, that's where you're in the midst of sometimes asking yourself, do I really have to go cold turkey on this stuff, or can I just watch a little bit on Fridays or something, one or 2 hours on Friday, you know? And it's a struggle. And sometimes, you know, I struggled with this a lot, you know. And even when I had TV, I used to turn it off a lot, but I would try and spend equal time TV and in the Bible. And it helped a bit that way, but you know, I'm just really happy that I got rid of the cable vision. you know, when I saw that vision of the picture of my father, I was sitting in this chair and I looked up at the ceiling, and I don't know if I was asleep or whatever. He came down and the cable company just changed the cable boxes. They gave you really fancy ones with like a whole bunch of channels on them. And usually when you dream about something, you dream about something that you've had for a long time. But this was a brand new remote system that I had. And a hand came down from the ceiling and took my remote out of my hand. And this was in the vision. And to the point where I even said out loud, "You took my remote." I woke up, and of course, I was on this conference call, and I mentioned that, and Michael Hare said, "Well, Andrew, I think you're supposed to get rid of your cable box." And I said, "Don't worry, I'm doing it right now, but it takes a month to get rid of it, because I have to take it to the cable store to take it, because they won't come and pick it up and disconnect it." That was a few years ago. But, you know, it's all these DVDs now, so I cleaned out a whole shelf of them, but I threw out all the DVD cartridges, and I kept all the little discs in this little file folder, and they're in a little black file folder over there, so I don't see them to tempt me all the time. It's a process of progress. Like, I really went through them in the past and started throwing out a whole lot of them. I still have VHS too, you know. But I stopped buying them. That's the thing. That's another big thing, because you get hooked on that to buy them. And I just stopped buying them. But there's this one series that I'm constantly watching. And it's called Stargate SG-1. That's the hard one, because there's even some sitting out there open. But I didn't watch today. And then, of course, you go, well, maybe I can watch God's Not Dead 2, you know? And you're going, well, you know, I just listened to, again, on Monday, I listened to it. Eve's dreams and David's Bible verses that he brings in, you know, and then I was listening to the 3 and 4 downloads. You can buy it, like, there's more than 13 chapters. And instead of the videos, I was listening to a lot of this stuff, you know. And I'm going, am I just replacing this with this now? Or is this a contest now again on what I can watch more of? So it's an ongoing process, but it can be an addiction, and you have to overcome. As for YouTube, I'm getting a little better on that too. It's this person at work showed me the icon we press at the work computer where you can get access to YouTube. And I went, I got one of those icons on my laptop. And if he didn't show me that, I would have never got into it. But, you know, I downloaded a lot of videos fresh from Sovereign God, you know, in us and through us, on my laptop, and David Hills is on YouTube there too, so I downloaded all his when he went to the Prophecy Club of the Hin and Manna ones, and because I find, you know, I could read these, but I also like to watch them on these videos just to help me. So from what Dave was saying, is this is something that's, you know, like, I don't watch anything bad. Like, I'll watch this guy who has this show called Restaurant Impossible on YouTube to see if he can get his food out to the thousands or hundreds of people that he wants to and it's just a waste of time, but it's entertainment, you know. And I don't know if the Lord allows for some entertainment. I don't know if he would. And that's you know, there are times where I would only, like, when I'm really good, be once a week, 2 hours on Friday, you know, and then I would make it to the next Friday. But then there are those times where I'll watch a bit on Friday and a bit on Saturday, you know. So this is something that's a bit of a struggle for me, but to go cold turkey, I see that this is perhaps what the Lord wants me to do. And it's just sometimes, you know, you get that saying, oh, this isn't all that serious. This is going through your head. And you're going, well, wait a minute. It seems to be pretty serious now because of, well, the thing I came up with Sunday, and of course for the past 2 days, you know. So I don't know what I'm going to do about this. A desire to follow the Lord should be there, to love the Lord on this, but I need some instruction. I got lots of instruction, but you know, I wonder, is it just cold turkey? Don't go for that at all? Or can I indulge a little? But you do a little and then you just want more.
You already know the answer to that, Andrew.
Okay. And you know, and you get reminded about the vision, and you go, I can't say, because these are TV programs that are on this. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, you try to find all these excuses, and well, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me and help me to guard my deposit, and so that I would honor the wonderful gift of Christ in me. Amen.
Amen. I'm sitting over here laughing my head off, Andrew, because I've been through the same thing. Not quite the same deal, but the same type of stuff. You know, the temptations. Yeah, you
know. No, I would agree with y'all. Yeah, I'm in the same boat too. And well, to be honest with you, Andrew, you're quitting cold turkey is the way to go. I've had to do it so many times on things, and it does not feel good, of course, in the flesh. That's your flesh. You know, as you know, and it's, I mean, I had to do it, was it Monday? Because, yeah, Michael told me, I talked to him. He said, listen to this broadcast by David. It's a good one. I think it'll help you out. And I listened to it, and I'm like, okay, this is a word I needed right now. And so it's just, I basically did what Eve did. I deleted it on my phone and disabled YouTube. You know, that's my new TV, or you know, has been. So my flesh was screaming at me, like, what are you going to do now? What you going to do here, Joe? You don't have YouTube no more, huh? I'm like, well, I guess I'll just study the word. Get back into the teachings. I'm getting back into How Shall We Die. I've been slowly reading it so I can, you know, really pick it up, because if I just like buzz through it like this, you know, I mean, I don't retain much of anything, and but I'm kind of just slowly going through it, and I was just getting done before I came on listening to the 25th of this month about the tongue, you know, like David's teaching on the power of the tongue. So I'm kind of slowly getting back into it. But yeah, I find myself, Facebook also is another just minor distraction. I want to see what some of the you guys down in Tennessee and others, you know, are up to here and there. But yeah, it's best just to quit cold turkey. And if what's always helped me with those things, if you need to get, yeah, with like the DVDs, if you need to get them out of your house, just definitely do it. Cause it's like, I find myself wandering at times around my apartments And it's like you said, you know, you put the DVDs in sleeves, like, okay, this might be good. You tend to wander. You're like, oh, what's this? Yeah, it's like, what's this stuff, you know? And it's like, oh, hey, yeah, let's go throw this back in the DVD player and watch this for a while, and then it starts to run over. So just chuck it all out the door, pretty much.
The flesh wants to negotiate.
Yes.
That's the flesh. Can I do just a little bit, God? You know,
but we're not really going off topic here, but you know, there's the flesh and the spirit here, you know, and
we sure are eating up the flesh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Andrew, it's real funny to me because I've done the same thing. You know, what I just go on there and look at the news. They see what the news is. 4 hours later, you know what I mean? And so I had to finally just give it up. Just give it up. Say, quit. And so then I just go look at the headline. You know what I'm saying? I'll just go look at the headline. Then over on the right-hand side where they have all the other ones, you know, this, what, that, boy, that looks like something I need to know that. Like I said, 4 hours later. So it's just the best thing to do, just give it up and go after the Lord.
Okay.
You still got VHS?
The player seems to never die.
Okay.
I actually watched one of the Jurassic Parks, and then that was mentioned, and I was going, oh, I can justify this now.
Oh, for crying out loud.
We were supposed to the first one in Jurassic Park, we're supposed to stay still, and the girl's there, and the actor is there, you know, it's just nuts.
Well, anyhow, to be led by the flesh. Oh my, praise the Lord. All right, anybody else got anything you want to add to it? Being led by the Spirit. Now we know how it is to be led by the flesh. We just got a good teaching on that. and it hit right home with me, Andrew. It did. All right.
Other things, you know, not just entertainment. You know, for anyone who may have some difficulty in other things, because usually some people don't associate what their problem is with what another person might have a problem. So, you know, I'm just saying that for the benefit of anyone who might be listening later.
Amen. Yeah, whatever's an idol in your life, that's what you're going after. Yeah, Dave.
I like what Chet said, in that we forget about this, and it's a little tactic that goes on. The flesh is negotiating with us, and we know we're kind of giving into it, but the subtlety just kind of happens, and before you know it, if we go with it, it's we're there, you know. So I think that's a big problem, is the distractions and not getting closer to the Lord. And your feeling is getting with the Spirit is if we're being distracted, in the sense that we're allowing the flesh to manipulate us with this negotiation process that goes on. And we don't even, unless we're catching it on time, realize, hey, wait, this is the flesh trying to make me weak and negotiate me down, and or I lose my spiritual strength. If we don't catch it and keep on resisting that, that's what happens. And then we start hearing less. We don't, not as in tune to the Lord.
I mean, yeah, we our flesh wants us to compromise our time with the Lord, with our time with Him. Man, think what this movie's going to be like. Lord, man, it's going to be awesome. All this shoot 'em up, Star Wars stuff.
I see Julie put in the chat justification, and that's it. We try to justify that stuff, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
We're Kirk's just laughing. He's like, oh, you know. But, yeah, try to justify. See,
you can't justify. Yeah. Yeah. Well, just remember this. If we just keep this in the forefront of what we're doing, are you feeding more your flesh than you are the spirit? And if you are, you know, you can back off of it considerably. Yeah, Dave.
Plus, I think David said something that was kind of, it kind of got my attention a little bit, and it shocked me enough to think, oh, okay, you got the 10 virgins, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. Well, the foolish ones were distracted. They kind of were, you know, more involved with the world than they should have been. Whereas the 5 wise ones, they had the oil on their lamps, and they were, you know, studying, being with the Lord. They were there spending their time wisely while they were here. The foolish ones weren't. The foolish ones lost their ability to be the Lord because they didn't spend their time with the Lord while they were here when they were supposed to. They were spending their time doing other things, being distracted. And it's like, wow, this is a pretty definite, you know, judgment there. The 5 went with the Lord and the 5 distracted ones did not, because they invested their time somewhere else other than with the Lord. And when the time came, they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. And then they had to go get themselves ready, and it was too late.
Well, the critical thing is that we don't know when that time is, too. If you remember, I believe David gave the testimony of Eve after the Lord admonished her about that, and how she turned from that and went straight to listening to the word and also listening to the teachings. You know, again, she got back into the real good news, and man, she's just a different person than she was before. Just a different person, because she's feeding her spirit now rather than her flesh. And I can tell you this, you know, I'll just be honest with y'all. I was looking at way too much news, you know, trying to keep up with all everything. And it's the same stuff every day. Good gracious, God's the one that's guiding all this stuff. All we need to do is just pray it down, because He gives us dreams and visions, and we just pray down whatever God gives us. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Listening to y'all talking, a song came to me. I'll share.
Go for it.
I'll share just, well, it goes, it's called Only You. And it goes, no one but you, Lord, can satisfy this longing in my heart. Nothing I do, Lord, can take the place of drawing near to you. Only you can fill my deepest longing. Only you can breathe in me new life. Only you can fill my heart with laughter. Only you can answer my heart's cry. That's just part of it, but that's what came to me.
Yeah, that's a good song. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Can I just read some scripture?
Yes, ma'am.
Romans 8, starting at 5. It really speaks a lot. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So when I read this, I see that we can have our choices that we make and should be led by the Spirit in this choice, or led by the Spirit in this choice. But I like verse 9 says, if you are not, however, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if we know the Spirit of God dwells in us, we have to see ourselves as always in the Spirit. And I think that if we realize that and agree with God in that, that we can set our hearts on following the Spirit and not our mind on the flesh. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just that kind of like in a way an attitude or something. We're used to just listening for the Spirit in certain decisions to make instead of actually a life of that we are indeed in the Spirit of God because he dwells in us. So,
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Means being in tune, right?
Well, when Debbie was sharing that, what came to me was set your mind on the things which are above and not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hid with God in Christ Jesus. With God, with Christ. Yeah. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God or something like that. Yeah. But with Colossians 3, I think. Yeah, so if we have our minds set on the things which are above, having our minds, you know, we dwell in heavenly places. One thing that helps is if you think about setting your mind, you know, on the things that are above, on things of the kingdom, you know, it's easier to be led by the Spirit of God and not be moved by what you see, hear, or feel or anything like that. Not being moved by the physical realm, but having your mind on the things that are above. I was looking to see where that. Another good one is Colossians 3. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And then it goes in, put to death, verse 5, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication. You know, if you, that's, you know, that's, you know, you're earthly minded then. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth? These are all, you know, goes in conjunction with what Joe was saying earlier about works of the flesh, you know, in Galatians. Shameful speaking out of your mouth. Be not one to another, seeing. Oh, lie not one to another. It's a little blurred there. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, the spiritual man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, sometimes, you know, after the image of him who created him, well, that's the image of Jesus, right? So, you know, kind of, I used to hear people poo-poo the whole idea of what would Jesus do, you know? But, you know, if you can't imagine, you know, Jesus doing something, if it's something you don't think Jesus would be doing, you know, then that's, you're not going to be led by the Spirit. But anyway, that's just some thoughts.
Amen. That's a good thought. All right, Dooley, go ahead, girl.
Some of the scriptures that were coming to my mind when Andrew was talking, and Andrew, brother, I can relate to you. Not, you know, we've all got stuff that we're battling against, and it's all flesh. But when the scripture was coming to me was that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because you can, because he'll give you the strength and the grace to do it, all of us. And the other one was coming to me was in 1 John 4. My little children, you are of God and have overcome them, for greater is in you than he that is in this world. You know, your flesh is part of the world. And the other things that were coming to me just now as Debbie and Missy were talking was in 1 John chapter 2 and 15, about not loving the world. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. So we just have to, you know, by the grace of God, and ask for his strength and grace to overcome the temptations of the flesh, and not, you know, we can say no to them. And that's the war that's going on between your spirit man and the carnal man. That's the war. You want to do it because, you know, feels good and it takes up time, and, you know, but what are we filling ourselves with? You know, what are we looking at? What are we thinking? I guess those three things, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, vainglory of life, that's all the sin nature. That's all the things of this world that tempt us. It all falls under the sin. Those are the three things that tempt us to sin. It's what we see, it's what we hear, it's what we, you know, what we think we can get away with, and it's okay justifying it or whatever. However, the flesh is powerful, but, you know, we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. We were crucified, and it's Christ who lives in us. And like Missy said, would Jesus be doing that? How would be Jesus spending his time, you know? So, Lord, help us. We all need you. We can't do it ourselves. And if we think we can, we're wrong. So, Lord, help us and give us the strength and your grace and the faith and to say no to the flesh and direct our steps and put the love of the word in our hearts and help us overcome in these areas where we're all struggling in weaknesses, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I know when we were talking, like what Andrew was talking about earlier, and a couple others mentioned that, in Acts 19, when they had a bonfire, and that's the best way to deal with a lot of things, is just burn them. Get them out of the house and burn them. I remember, back up in Illinois, when we were fairly young in the Lord, there was a family that came in, and they were just like such a struggle and a struggle and a struggle. And the elders finally counseled them that they needed to have a burning. And so they were, they brought all the stuff out, that dolls and this, anything that could possibly be from, anything that would, something could have be a curse put on, but they just really purged the house in that, and there was a burning. And even other families joined in and brought all the stuff that, so would any kind of a worldly thing, and they burned them. And you talk about getting free, boy, they got free. And it changed their lives. It was awesome. And then along that same thought, every year when they had Passover, the father of the house was to go through the house and search the house for leaven, and they had to purge the house of leaven. So anything that would fall into that court category, they were supposed to get that out of the house. So, amen. So. For matches, can have a burning. Ooh.
That's a good point, Denny. A good visual of what that stuff is. It's leaven. It's leaven. It's anything like unclean or, not edifying, not truth, not light, not.
Yeah, but.
But what?
Paul said. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable.
Wasn't he talking about food?
We can look at a lot of things and not get defiled, but you're not getting profited by it either in this world. And that's the big thing, because we can always look at things and say, well, this isn't bad, but it's not. But it's not giving you any profit either. It's not bringing you in the kingdom,
No fruit, huh, Dave? Fruit.
Yeah. Okay. So, I was reading John here, and we look at that, because I like how John brings things in. He says, walking the light. So this is the message we have heard. This is 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So think about anything that's not really walking with the Lord, that's not in fellowship with the Lord, that's not bringing us into this kingdom, but is actually bringing us back in darkness. That's where it's going to take us. We're going to see, we're not going to be walking in the light anymore. And if we don't want to, if we start getting out of the light and start walking back in these worldly darkness things, how far is that going to take us down in the darkness? We don't want that. I've been there. We've all had that darkness. God, we want to avoid that, And I'm confessing it too. I mean, I'm still there. I'm trying to get rid of some of this stuff too. I get caught up on YouTube and I literally with the news sometimes. But I don't go so far now that it takes me away, but still. You're not getting any profit out of it. We're still trying to filter it, so we're not getting defiled, but there's still, at the end, it doesn't bring us back into the light like we need to be. But he says, if we walk in light as he's in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses from all sin. So we're confessing our sin, and we're being cleansed. We're talking with the Lord, and he's with us. He sees it. And he says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we're all confessing that, we're not what we need to be yet in the Lord, but we're striving to be the Lord. And we confess whatever we're falling short on, you know what that is, and we're just bringing it to light. We're not trying to hide it, but we want to stay in that darkness. You know? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Missy.
You know, talking about the leaven, we got to realize, you know, especially if we live with other people, what we do has an effect. Everything that we say and we do has an effect on those around us. And we can be leavening them, not just ourselves, but leavening others. In our household. Bringing spirits into our household. I'm talking from experience.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Here's a scripture for you, John 7:37-39. In the last day, where are we at? We're in the last day, aren't we? That great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's talking in there about the rivers of the Spirit flowing out of our belly. You know, that's the Spirit of man. That's the Spirit of God in the Spirit of man. Praise God. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You put that word in you, it'll save you. Romans 12:2, one we all know. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, glory to God. What we've been talking about. Anybody else? Here's one for you. Listen to this. Now, this is a good one. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We do that. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved. Okay? So he's talking about it's up to us to do that, right? Is that not what he's saying? We have to keep our body. We got to burn in this now, y'all. Got to burn in VHS this things. Got to burn those YouTubes. Yeah, Missy.
Jesus said something like, I have authority to lay down my life and I have authority to take it up. But that's because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He has that power, that authority. And that just goes back to how often do we talk about, you know, asking the Lord to refill you every morning. And, hey, you can be asking him all day long, you know. It's like, you know, you come across a tough situation and, Lord, oh, fill me with your Spirit. I don't want to respond in my flesh, you know. Me, your overcoming power, you know. To overcome in this, you know, but, you know, but we're not, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have the power to say no, to buffet our body and make it our slave, you know?
Amen. That's John chapter 10, verse 18. Joe sent that to me today. He'd been reading it. He said, no one taketh it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father. That's talking about your resurrection. That's talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ after he died. He's sitting up there at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf. He did have the power because the Father gave it to him. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Andy Griffith Show in 30 years that I know of. But when we were talking, everybody talking about, you know, getting rid of these whatever worldly influences and things, I kept thinking of the word entertainment. And how we enter into detainment. And it's like Otis, the town drunk, how he had the keys to the jail. He'd go and put himself in the cell and lock himself in there. And then the Lord said, it's like us being drunk on the lust and drunk on the images of the world that we enter into that detainment. And like Dave was saying, it might not be unlawful, but it's a stumbling block to others in our families and people that are watching us, like Missy said. But it's also, you know, like I said, I haven't watched that show in 30 years, but I could almost smell the alcohol on Otis. I could tell you every little move of his big old jowls and how he would talk and what he would say and the interaction. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's just like an old Michael Jackson song that, you know, you never bought an album, but you know every word to it because it was on the radio. And the world tries to imprint these images on our brain and fill us up with their images and their words. And I think about Jesus turning the water into the wine. You know, the servants were told to fill those vessels up to the top with the water. And if we don't fill ourselves up, you know, and even ask God to redeem everything that the world's filled us up with and make that, turn that into something good, what the enemy meant to destroy us, ask God to redeem it and turn it into something good. So maybe we can relate to other people and carry on conversations with other people and bring it back and redeem it and bring everything back to God. Everything that the enemy tries to replant in our brain and draw out and distract us, just go ahead and say, well, enemy, I'm going to smack you upside the head with that old town drunk. And I'm going to smack you upside the head with whatever little hee hee, you know, I'm going to laugh at you, you know, when you remind me of Michael Jackson. And you just got to stay in the spirit, you know, just take every thought captive to the lordship of Jesus Christ and just say, God, you know, the enemy will get tired of playing games with you when he finds out that you'll take everything he tries to use against you and whack him over the head with it. And I've found even like interacting with people, we think sometimes that we are on this solitary road with God. And to hear his voice, it's just us and him. There's nothing else. But the more we fellowship with one another, you know, I'm quiet a lot lately on here especially. And sometimes I do nod right off. But, I mean, somebody's going to read to me. I'm going to go to sleep. I'll suck my thumb and I'm gone. But I'll also fill up a notebook. Like I'll go and sit in a Sunday school class. I don't go to the actual church, but this Pentecostal church down the road, I'll go sit with these old folks in their Sunday school and just pour into them. And I'll try to be quiet and they'll call on me and bring it out of me. And I'll just pour into them and honor these old folks and bless them. And they'll be preaching whatever they're trying to teach the class, and I'm filling up a notebook with what the Spirit's given me outside of what they're saying, and they'll brush the edges of something, and God will just keep giving me like a whole list of scriptures. And sometimes, you know, you think, am I hearing God? And I'll be in at home in a devotion and read just a couple of lines, or I think I ask God to myself, like, I'm sure y'all do the same thing before you go to your meetings together, your fellowships and prayer meetings. Like, God, what are you saying today? And he'll tell you something like, you know, God is no respecter of persons. And he'll almost give you some kind of like racist sermon in your head, like, oh, you got to be sure not to judge people according to the flesh and all this stuff. And you're thinking, God, I ain't got nothing in my life that's dealing with this. But then you go and get amongst a group of people, and all of a sudden, you know, the people sitting beside, you know, it could be anywhere, it could be McDonald's, but the people around you are, you know, that they smell like they've smoked 20 packs of cigarettes that morning, and normally you wouldn't have a chance to talk to them, but all of a sudden they're right there beside you. So you reach out your hand and say hi, and you're talking, and God's telling you, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the heart, you know. And it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. And you know, you get the chance to step outside of your own strongholds in your mind, because God does get, he's always talking to you. We shouldn't ever question whether he's talking to us or not, because the fact of the matter is, my sheep hear my voice. And if we're his sheep, end of story, we hear his voice. It's not how do I, it's how am I being distracted from your voice. And Father, forgive me for not doing what you're telling me, because I heard you tell me that and I went on, skipped right over it, and decided to turn the radio up a little louder or do something different. But he is speaking to us all the time. And if we have to fast so that we hear him a little better, if we have to, you know, buffet ourselves. I was getting an image of God taking, or I was getting an image of a coconut and how many times you have to hit it on a rock before you can bust it open and get that living water that Michael was talking about. And sometimes you have to beat it. That's buffeting. You beat that outer man, that outer shell. You beat that old man, that outer man, till you can crack open and get to that soul, that inner man, and that spirit where the life and the living water is coming out. And once we get a taste, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good, when we ever get a taste of that full-on, unobstructed spirit of God in our life, that life, those living waters that give life to others, then we're not going to cover it up with fudge and chicken wings and everything else. We're going to say, you know what, I'm going to deny myself. I got to have more of that living water and that life that the world needs so badly. So keep our eyes open and look. You know, I got where I, when I pray for people, I never close my eyes anymore, because I'm looking for you know, what's fixing to happen. Is lightning fixing to go through the bottom of their feet and top of their head, and all of a sudden, you know, God's right here in the midst of us? I mean, it's live action power. Wherever we take the Holy Spirit, it's the power that created everything. So, you know, be encouraged, brother. Y'all are a very good encouragement to me. And like I said, he's speaking through you. When we come together, he is speaking. I'm hearing him through every one of you all. And I'm getting some notes, like I said, and I'm being reminded that if I wrote down a prayer burden for, you know, our families and ones that we've put on a shelf and said, God, you got them, that we can circle back around and say, and water those seeds and say, God, how is that coming along? You know, can I get a good report on them? I'm drawing on your well. You know, I want to draw on your good news and good report. And God wants us to be involved in each other's lives and each other's burdens. and he wants us to celebrate with each other. So that's where we're headed. I love y'all. Bye.
Amen. Thank you, George, as always. Go ahead, Chip.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what George said. I don't close my eyes when I'm praying for other people anymore either. I learned through praying for thousands of people that you'll miss something. You'll miss an indication, especially if they're, you know, I'm praying for someone, I see something unclean, it shows in the eyes usually first. But the Lord taught me that, you know, taught me to keep my eyes open. Now, if I'm praying by myself at home in my secret place, then yeah, just reverence, I'll close my eyes. But when I'm actually praying for others, you know, that's amazing. But I think it's so awesome that I hear George talking that he is going to feed, not get fed. That's amazing. I love that. That really spoke to me, because when you can get to that point where you're not having to be fed milk, but you're eating the meat and you're going to help others and feed others, and like he's talking about that Sunday school class, that's amazing. That is doing the gospel right there, brother. God bless you. Amen.
I had a picture in my mind of eating chicken wings and trying to read the Bible at the same time. You know, that's almost impossible without getting barbecue all over the Bible. I had that picture in my mind. George, you're a blessing, brother. Everybody is.
My middle name is Otis.
You know, while you were giving that, I said, I wonder how many in here don't have a clue what you're talking about. But I see everybody in here just about is old enough to remember Otis. Oh, my. And that Mayberry is just right down the road from us, over in North Carolina. Yeah, Chet.
I have to say this. I spent a lot of time in North Carolina and spent a lot of time on the Outer Banks. And Andy Griffith had a big estate on an island on the Outer Banks. And I had a good friend that he's the first mate on a charter boat out of Pirates Cove. They're going out into the mid-Atlantic to offshore fish, but I'd go down and stay with him, and he lived next door to Andy Griffith. And I got the pleasure to talk to him, and it was late, you know, he was a lot older than he was on the TV show, but it was really cool. And I don't know why I shared that. I just wanted to tell George that.
Yeah. Amen. It was Otis you saw or Andy?
No, it was Andy Griffith. But these guys talk about the Andy Griffith show, but yeah.
Yeah, I was just kidding. All right. All right. Does anybody need any prayer before we get out of here? Before we close out. I shouldn't say get out. That sounds terrible. We close tonight. What's that?
I think we should pray for Andrew, guys.
Okay.
Can I pray for Andrew? Andrew?
Yeah, where is Andrew? Yeah, oh, there he is. He's right above you, Chet.
Yeah, Father, I thank you for Andrew. Lord, I know you see all the value in him. You love him. He's your favorite. And Lord, give him strength and power and grace to make the decisions that you are putting before him. A lot of times we try to do stuff in our own strength and we can't. And Father, I just ask that you just put a blessing on Andrew, that he is turning a page, that he would have the boldness and the desire to step into what you have for him. And I just speak a blessing on Andrew right now, a blessing on him and his family and his home, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and close us out with prayer?
All right. Father, I thank you. I thank you this evening for great fellowship. We're on the cusp of a new year, Lord. I just speak blessing on everybody that's in here. Everybody that's in here for the new year, I speak a blessing on them all, that, Lord, you would give them eyes to see, you give them ears to hear, you would lead and guide them, and you would give us all the grace to walk in the Spirit, to go from visitation to habitation, in the Holy Spirit. Go from breakthrough to overthrow, Lord. I bless each and every one of them in here, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each and every person that's in here. It's a blessing to be in this room, and I honor every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thursday night, we'll start in The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling. There's a lot in there that's good. It's good stuff in there. We'll learn a lot. Matter of fact, the first chapter there, Missy brought it to my attention today. He's going to talk about the spirit and the flesh. So, good night, everybody. Bless y'all. Let me see if I can get y'all unmuted here. Amen.